जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस पूर्वजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान The Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Guru Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutalashmati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesh Vishnu Vani Paschat Shudhisthan. Hare Krishna. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Texts 8 and 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Jnanam Visudham Vipulam Yataitan Vairagya Vijnana Yutam Puranam Apyashi Vishveshvara Vishvamurte Tad Bhakti Yogam Chamahadvijim Jam. Vijnanam, Jnanam, Visudam, Vipulam, Yathaita. Vairagya Vijnana Yutam Puranam. Akyasi Vishveshvara Vishvamurte. Tad Bhakti Yogam Chamahadvijim Jam. Jnanam Visudam Vipulam Yathaita. Vairagya Vijnanam Yutam Puranam. Agyahi Vishveshvara Vishvamurte. Tad Bhakti Yogam Chamahadvim Jim. Sri Uddhava said, Jnanam, knowledge, Visuddham, transcendental, Vipulam, extensive, Yata, just as Etat, this, Vairagya, detachment, Vijnanam, and direct perception of the truth, Yutam, including Puranam, traditional among great philosophers, Akyahi, please explain, Vishva Ishvara, O Lord of the universe, Vishvamurte, O form of the universe, taught unto you Bhakti Yogam, loving devotional service, cha also Mahat by great souls, Vim Rijim, sought after. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord of the universe, O form of the universe, please explain to me that process of knowledge which automatically brings detachment and direct perception of the truth, which is transcendental and which is traditional among great spiritual philosophers. This knowledge, sought by elevated personalities, describes loving devotional service unto your lordship. Purport, those who are able to cross over the darkness of material existence are called Mahat, or great personalities. Secondary items like cosmic consciousness or universal control do not deviate the attention of such great souls from loving service to the Lord. Sri Uddhava desires to hear knowledge of the eternal religious principles that are the traditional aim and objective of all spiritual personalities. Text 9, my dear Lord, the one who is being tormented by the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. Purport. Lord Krishna, recognizing Uddhava's highly intellectual nature, has repeatedly recommended to him that he should achieve perfection by cultivation of transcendental knowledge. But Lord has also clearly demonstrated that such knowledge must bring one to the point of loving devotional service to him, for otherwise it is useless. In this verse, Sri Uddhava corroborates Lord Krishna's statements that actual happiness is obtained by surrendering unto his lotus feet. When the incarnation of Godhead Prithu Maharaj was crowned, the demigod Vayu presented him with an umbrella that constantly sprayed fine particles of water. The Lord's two lotus feet are similarly compared here to a wonderful umbrella that produces a constant shower of delicious nectar, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Normally, speculative analytic knowledge terminates in an impersonal conception of the absolute truth. But the so-called bliss of merging into impersonal spiritual existence can never be compared to the bliss of Krishna consciousness, as stated here by Sri Uddhava. Krishna consciousness thus automatically constitutes perfect knowledge. Since Lord Krishna is the ultimate shelter of all living entities, the words abhihastasya and abhivarsat are significant in this verse. Abhihatasya indicates one who is being defeated on all sides by the onslaught of material nature, whereas abhivarsat indicates a downpour of nectar that eliminates all of the problems of material existence. By our intelligence, we should look beyond the dull material body and nonsensical material mind to observe the unlimited shower of blissful nectar coming from the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then our real good fortune will begin. Wonderful. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Ganam Jana Shilakaya Chakshur Nuritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So again, the chapter title here is the Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. And so we find Uddhava asking Lord Krishna, what is that perfection? Actually, there are a couple questions that can be ascribed to this discussion today here. What type of knowledge is Uddhava seeking? And why is he seeking that type of knowledge? Of course, seeking knowledge is not something that is foreign to any of us as Atma, as spirit soul. Krishna describes in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Also an answer to a question about knowledge, by the way. Arjuna there asks, oh, my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of knowledge and the object of knowledge. So Krishna replies to those questions there, which is also asking about some form of knowledge. And so our task is to try to understand, well, what's the difference? Because Arjuna is asking about knowledge of the field of activities here. Krishna responds to him. He says, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. So that's a type of knowledge that Arjuna was seeking, but is that the same type of knowledge that Uddhava is seeking? He's asking Lord Krishna. It's a different level of knowledge. Uddhava is asking for direct knowledge of bhakti yoga, of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The knowledge Arjuna sought is obviously on that path, but again, at different levels, the questions are coming. And as I said, it's not strange that the Atma, the spirit soul, seeks knowledge. It's part of our being. Yesterday, had a family visit me in my home, and I guess because school's out, they brought their little son with him. And her son had a t-shirt on that said something like Boy Genius or something like that. But you know, these t-shirts, they can't just have letters, they have to have some little design to them too, you know, to make them attractive. And so genius was the subject matter of the t-shirt, and we associate genius with knowledge. But the knowledge they depicted on the t-shirt was like E equals MC squared or some little chemical thing like a test tube and stuff like that. In other words, science, that knowledge of science is what they're comporting with genius, with a genius. If you're a genius in this world, you know what E equals MC squared means. And you have a scientific outlook, conceivably, and granted there may be some, it's not absolute, but I mean, conceivably, your conception of knowledge is limited to this material world and how it works or how it's imagined to work or whatever. So that's one level of knowledge, but there's more. The spirit soul, the Atma, the Jiva, has a greater capacity for understanding knowledge and higher knowledge than just E equals MC squared. You can understand that. Maybe you're a genius, but there's more to knowledge than just that level of knowledge. So we should seek that out. And that's what Uddhava is pointing out to us here in this 11th canto. Krishna and Uddhava together are giving a discourse on the limit of knowledge. What is the ultimate limit of knowledge? What is that knowledge when our consciousness is fully blown, like a lotus, full-blown lotus? When our consciousness is fully developed to its fullest extent, what do we know at that point in time? What do we know? That's the end to which Uddhava is seeking knowledge here. So what I thought that we could do together is look at these two verses to see what elements of knowledge Uddhava is seeking, and then try to connect him with the answers that are found in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, in Bhagavad Gita, to see if he's on the right track. To see if he's on the right track. Is he going to get the knowledge he wants by approaching Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam? We accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Our acharyas have explained that we accept Srimad Bhagavatam, Amala Puranam, the place to get ultimate knowledge. It's available to us. We may not think of it like that sometimes. Maybe we think it's something we distribute. But actually, it's the source of the ultimate knowledge. It's the limit of what we can realize and know as perfected beings in our perfected state. And there are different levels of perfection, but in our most perfected state, that was one of the verses today here, isn't it? In our most perfected state, what can we know? So let's look at the verses and see what Uddhava is seeking. He says that in the text number 8 that, please explain to me knowledge which automatically brings detachment and direct perception of the truth. Detachment. Can anybody say how Srimad Bhagavatam, quote a verse, how Srimad Bhagavatam gives us detachment? I thought you versed it. Yes, you want to give us the translation also? Yes, by hearing, we automatically get the detachment. So Uddhava is giving us what is the standard of this highest knowledge, and detachment must be part of it. And so we can get that from Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna. There's also a verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, part of the demigod's prayers to Lord Vishnu, 3542, from Madan Mohan's reference. Simply by hearing about your lotus feet with eagerness and devotion, and by meditating upon them within the heart, one at once becomes enlightened with knowledge, and on the strength of detachment, one becomes pacified. We must therefore take shelter of the sanctuary of your lotus feet. So these verses today, they talk about how the lotus feet of Krishna are refreshing, just like an umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. So the lotus feet of the Lord are stressed in this verse in the third canto, as giving that detachment. By the way, I can't help but note such a wonderful poetic depiction here when it talks about this umbrella. Generally, we think of an umbrella to protect us from rain, from water coming on our head. But this umbrella is showering us instead. And so that little difference is interesting, because we may think that sometimes taking the spiritual life is somehow or another restricting us or inhibiting us, but it's actually just the opposite. You know, spiritual life is giving us this shower, just like we think of an umbrella might be to keep out the rain, but we take that umbrella here to get the shower. So we shouldn't become confused about the real benefit of that umbrella of the Lord's lotus feet. And we can get detachment, which helps us get those feet if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So it seems that detachment... Well, there's another story that, of course, the kids aren't here today. They're usually here on Tuesdays. And stories are good for the kids, all of us, big kids as well as little kids. But there's an interesting story from the Padma Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya section that talks about Bhakti and her two sons, Gyan and Vairagya. And Gyan and Vairagya are, they're all like becoming drained, but then you come to Vrindavan and Bhakti becomes rejuvenated, energized. But Gyan and Vairagya, who two sons, still appear like old men. So not until they heard Srimad Bhagavatam did they become revived. So that's a long story. We won't go into it here. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam revives this detachment and knowledge.
One more verse we can't let go. Okay. Prabhupada would always quote this verse, and it involves the lotus feet. Yat pad pankaj palasha balasa bhaktya karmasha yamgatita mudgada yanti santa padbanna rittamata yo yata yo pridda sro doganasta maranam bhajabhasa deva. This is one of the last verses of the Kumaras instructing Maharaj Prithu in the fourth canon. And it's saying that those who are enjoying the galas, I heard Prabhupada in a lecture, he's quoting this first line again and again, just relishing pad pankaj palasha balasa bhaktya. And it, those who are serving the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, that pleasure that they get cuts the knots of the heart. Udgunti, gunti, tadvanda, karma shayam is a desire for food of activity. They're like knots. Udguti yanti santa, the saints. But others, the gyanis, the impersonalists, whose mind is rikta matayo, empty of bhakti, is devoid of bhakti, they can't stop the waves of desire. Eventually they're overwhelmed.
Thank you. Very nice. Okay, so detachment. Now, direct perception of the truth is another thing that's characteristic of the knowledge that Uddhava is seeking here. So, who has a reference for how hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, or hearing Krishna's instructions, results in direct perception? Maharaj, we'll go to Maharaj then, this one.
Pratyaksha Bhagavam Danyam, Sushukam Gartamam, 9th chapter, text 2, which everyone knows, but in the third line, the Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam. Usually we hear Pratyaksha being denigrated as an inferior source of evidence unless it's completely sheltered by Shabda. But in this case, we're hearing that this knowledge is the perfection of religion because it gives direct perception of the truth by realization. Mm-hmm. So this is actually called Vaidusha Pratyaksha. It's spiritual, transcendental, direct perception, as opposed to Avidusha Pratyaksha, which is what most of us are afflicted with. Mm. So that's one reference.
That's very good. Thank you, Maharaj. I mean, how wonderful it is that this knowledge gives that direct perception. How faith-building is that? We're not just saying you have to have faith. You got to believe. But no, you get direct perception by this process. So you get help in building your faith. We're not hanging your faith on just, I believe, I want to believe. We know the senses are so strong, they cut at that desire to believe. But you get direct perception. It gives you strength in ways that are amazing. So, direct perception of the truth. Now, Uddhava also says that which is transcendental, knowledge which is transcendental. Can anybody give any reference how knowledge is transcendental? I have something here. Yes.
And that's famous series of five verses in the second canto, second chapter, first canto. The Avam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga Vdhat, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangha Sajayate. So the Vijnana is right there, direct perception, and it's liberating. It means it's beyond the three modes of nature, that's it, in the previous verses.
Right. Also, if we look at Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya, who's the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first of his eight verses talks about that the Sankirtan, the process for obtaining knowledge, and not just the process for obtaining knowledge, but to show that one has knowledge. If you engage in Sankirtan, it shows that you have knowledge. Of course, again, at different levels. But that Sankirtan is described in the first verse of the Shikshastram as the life of all transcendental knowledge. The life of all transcendental knowledge. So if you engage in the process of Sankirtan, you are entering the life of transcendental knowledge. Okay, now, the next one that he asked for, Uddhava says, this knowledge is sought by personalities, which is traditional among great spiritual philosophers. So characteristic of this knowledge, it's traditional amongst great philosophers. Can anybody give me some reference from the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam? How Srimad Bhagavatam is tradition, coming in a tradition, following tradition of great spiritual personalities, great philosophers. Pushkar Guru. Comes from Lord Brahma directly, yes. And what about the Vedas? What about Gayatri Mantra? Where do we find those things? Those traditions in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam Param Dhimahi is the reference, direct reference, and linking the knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam to the Vedic tradition, to all the Vedas. Dhimahi, this word used there, connects to the Gayatri Mantra. And so, yes, that's the other one I'm looking for, right? Janmadhyaya Satataha, right at the beginning of the first verse, that is direct reference to Vedanta Sutra. And so, even from the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see how it's linked to what Uddhava is looking for, traditional among great spiritual philosophers. Srimad Bhagavatam has these links. You know that in Sanskrit literature, the first verse is very important, and the author tries to put everything in that first verse. And so when we have reference to Vedanta Sutra, reference to Gayatri Mantra, as well as Tene Brahma Hridaya,
the first line, Dharma Purditakajitamatamatsaranam Matsaranam Satam Vedyam. It's understood by those who are pure in heart, who are the Satams, who are the devotees, the learned devotees.
Mm. Good. The second verse, we go to the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam now to get to Uddhava's next requirement here, which says that describing loving service unto your lordship. Second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a good look at that. Let's see here. Okay. Where is it I'm looking for? Bhuvi Bhavika. Which verse is that? Oh, that's the third verse. Yes. Expert and thoughtful man, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this juice has become even more tasteful, although it is nectarian juice. Was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. And so, this knowledge that Uddhava is seeking is rasika. It's not just dull, dry knowledge, philosophical concepts, abstract discussion. It's rasika. It's relishable, and if it doesn't have that satisfying, relishable aspect, then it's not Srimad Bhagavatam. Neither is it in line with the questions that Uddhava asks here, where he focuses on that umbrella showering, delicious nectar we talked about. And so that also is part of knowledge that must be sought. And of course, the last one here that Uddhava asked about is freedom from birth, death, old age, and disease, and the threefold miseries. Yesterday, Pran Govinda gave us the verse, Trayanam Mulyam, where the threefold miseries are uprooted by this transcendental knowledge. So knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is what Uddhava is seeking when he asked these questions to Krishna. And only Srimad Bhagavatam can truly fulfill all those things. Therefore, he's asking for Srimad Bhagavatam. We should also be following and asking for Srimad Bhagavatam ourselves. So why is this the goal? Well, because it has an effect. This, the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam, is the goal because it has its effect. We've talked about it in these different subjects we discussed here today, but the effect is that we want an eternal, blissful life of knowledge. That's what we want. That's why we seek knowledge. And that can be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's our goal. That's why we study Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we try to live the instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, because the result is, the effect is, that we get an eternal, blissful life of knowledge. And that's not true for all types of Vedic knowledge that people seek. They seek knowledge which may elevate them, but then because they neglect the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall from that exalted position that they attain. So we want to stay. We want some sticking power. Stay. We want our life to be eternal. We want it to be blissful and full of knowledge. So, yes, Pushkar. Second verse. Okay, you want to lead us in that?
Do I lead it?
Yeah.
Papa trihena bihitasya gore.
Trihena bihitasya gore.
Santapya manasya bhavadvanisha.
Santapya manasya bhavadvanisha.
Pashyami nanya charanam tabangri.
Pasyaminam chak charanam tarangri.
Dvandvata patrada mitabhi varsha.
Dvandvata patrada mitabhi varsha.
Sesha, could I say one thing about the umbrella?
Yes.
I was just thinking of this umbrella. So you're at the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. There's like an umbrella showering down the nectar. And I was just thinking, well, okay, you can taste that nectar of the lotus feet through service eternally. But at the same time, just imagine if you're in an umbrella and there's a shower coming down. That blocks out any input from the material world. In mm-hmm. other words, you're like protected. You're in this little, protected area. So that's another aspect. And that's actually how it works. The pleasure of Krishna consciousness just makes the material pleasure completely insignificant.
Mm.
Vairagya is like automatic. Vairagya vidya, nidya bhakti yoga.
Mm.
That's not how I am. I want to be.
From?
I was thinking to add the lotus feet and the knowledge and the holy name all together. The first verse of Rupa Goswami Pad. In Shiksha Namastakam. Nikilo Suti Mauli Ratna Mala Dhuti Nirajita Pada Pankajan E Mukta Kule Rupashamana Parishansta Shamsvayami. This is further explained. Then when Markandeya Rishi saw the Lord and Narada Muni explaining, he came to see the Lord and he saw the peak of feather is tilted little bit towards the lotus feet. So he's talking to the peak of feather directly. Why you are tilted? He said, because the Nikhila Sruti Mauli Ratnamala, even though Rupa Goswami Pad later on he composed this, but this verse also exists, that from the lotus feet, toenail of the lotus feet, unlimited spiritual transcendent knowledge is emanating. What kind of spiritual knowledge emanating? Oh, it's endowed with so rasa, so tasty, that Lord himself take the form of Bhatta Krishna and sucking his own toes to taste that rasa.
Can you bring up a verse on the board? I just remember this verse. The second to last verse of the whole CC. Antya Lila chapter 20, 156. Antya 20, 156. And this has to do with the fragrance emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. And it talks about the rasikas. And it's the second to last verse. But just like you say, the first verse is so important. He saved this one for almost the last verse. There it is. Okay, this is not an easy verse to chant. So I'll do it one time and see if you can pick up on it. It's actually two lines, two long lines. Padimalavasita bhuvanam sodason madara rasagyarolambam Giridadachadanambojam kak kadadasika samihate hapum. We want to try it? All right, get the translation. Realized devotees are like bumblebees maddened by their own mellows at Krishna's lotus feet. The scent of those lotus feet perfumes the entire world. Who is the realized soul who would ever give them up? Interesting, Hari. Save it for that last verse.
Second to the last verse.
Second to the last verse. The next verse he says, thus I finished the CC. In Vrindavan in the year 1537, Shakabda, in the month of Jaishta, May, June, on the Sunday, the fifth day of the waning moon, this Chaitanya Charitama has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the first verse is important, the last verse is important. Second to last verse is pretty important too.
They're all important. Are there any other comments or additions? Yes? Oh, Mars has something, I think.
It's just kind of a question. If I remember correctly, the translation of the next verse, which yours truly is assigned to for tomorrow, is describing, again the shower of nectar comes out, Vacholvi Rasincha, that by the nectar of your instructions. And then it says, well, we're emphasizing all this nectar means like the higher taste and bhakti as opposed to analytical shankhya knowledge. But in that, in tomorrow's verse, it's saying which awakens one to self-realization. So now we're back to, you know, jnana again. So, I don't know, maybe you could help me so I don't get mixed up tomorrow.
I have a question about the umbrella. When I think of an umbrella, I think it's the source is coming from somewhere else, like the rain or whatever, and the umbrella is blocking it. Here it's saying like the source is the umbrella, right? And so where, you know...
Well, you can think maybe this helps if we think of it like in India. A lot of people use umbrellas, I guess maybe here too, to block the sun, you know, instead of blocking the rain. And so this umbrella blocks the oppressive material nature in the three modes, and yeah, and so you, and you're inside being protected from that with the shower of nectar from Krishna. But that nectar is not the nectar coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. That can help change the conception?
Just a point on the umbrella.
You see, the devotees are interested in that nectar, the umbrella.
I was surprised. I had read a story with Jamadagni. He was meditating, and his wife, Rochira, had an umbrella over his head, black, shading him from the sun, you know, protecting him. You know, and I mean, this is so long ago, I was surprised. You know?
I remember once when we were driving through Arizona, and some restaurants along the streets, the awnings would spray a mist. It was so hot and dry. So it goes along with the umbrella that would spray a mist. That would, you know.
That's the preacher's view, that we have to spread it. We can't just have an umbrella for one person. We have to have an awning, and then we have to have a circus tent, and then we have to have those mile-long things they have in Russia for the festivals, you know, that so that more people can get the nectar. We're going to do that. That's the devotee's meditation. And one last thing.
It's interesting the way Prabhupada put it, the difference between the impersonalist and us. He said there are two transcendentalists. One takes shelter the subordination of spiritual master, and other don't. When we pursue, and in the purport Prabhupada writes that when one acquire knowledge or read the books under the guidance of spiritual master, that is bhakti. That is not jnana. Even though it appears like. And when somebody without the instruction of advanced guru or someone just pursue on knowledge, that remain knowledge. Knowledge can help, but when we gather knowledge, this is sambandha jnana, Tat Padartha Gyan, Tam Padartha Gyan, Jiva Brahma Itko Sajajya Gyan, Rupa Goswami Pad quote this, these are expansion of bhakti. So it is tasty. But with the impersonalists, they do more knowledge study more than we do, in a sense, because that's all they do whole day. But that's big difference. And I remember that Sarvam Bhattacharya and Mahaprabhu's discussion, where Sarvam Bhattacharya put out front that to cross this material ocean, we need a boat, or he compared like a ladder. And when they arrive on the goal, then they throw the ladder. But in our case, as a Krishna conscious follower, we take this knowledge as a mercy of or expansion of bhakti, and it's eternally stays with us. It's relishable, and it's an asset. We don't throw it and forget about it.
Yeah, Prabhupada personally enacted that in Mayapur. They were going down, there was big ditches, basically, and they were walking, going down. And get, so he went down and came up on the side with the help of one disciple. Who? Bhavananda? And he threw it, you know, threw his hand down like that. He said, this is how they do it. My buddy, take the knowledge and then just throw it away. Madan Mohan.
Since we're talking about knowledge so much in lotus feet and sambandha, it always brings to mind a verse, Jayatam Surto Pangur. So, Mama Manda Matir Gati Matsarvatsa Patambojo Radha Madana Mohano. So the lotus feet, it's plural there, it's Radha and Madana Mohan. So, she's very stealth. You hardly ever notice. You always direct your attention to Krishna, but without her, then where do you have the sambandha?
Thank you. All right, we'll end there. Antarashima Bhagavatam Gita.